All right, thank you for that. We are going to be in Romans chapter 13. We're going to look at our theme this morning. Now is the time. Our theme is important as we look at the times in which we live. You know, we live in a time of unprecedented negativity. News sources, really, they used to report on what's happening. Now they take whatever's happening and just give it a negative spin. They can make anything good sound bad. It's horrible. We live in a time of incomprehensible evil. I want to be gentle here, but they're coming after our children. What is it? One of the countries just now, they don't call it pedophilia anymore. It's age-attracted individuals or something like that. I don't know the first word. What is it? Minor attracted. No, that's called perversion. Okay, let's just go ahead. I'm not trying to get into it right away, but I just go. Let's just go there. That is beyond evil. A society that goes after its children is doomed. I'm trying to be positive this morning, but I'm already feeling a spirit of irritation. You have hospitals that are supposed to be helping people, producing nice commercials, targeting, transitioning of children, ripping their bodies apart. They want to start as early as 5. You know that whole millstone thing Jesus talked about? I would hate to be any of those people when they stand before God. It's not the message, but I just thought I'd throw that in. Trying to confuse our children. Said, man, I don't want my children to be confused and take them out of Caesar's schools. You can't send your kids to Caesar's institutions and expect them not to act like Romans. Anyhow, that was free. We have shrinking freedoms. And it's not about freedoms. It's about living for God. I get it. But they're trying to shut us up if we don't agree. They've changed tolerance to mean that you have to accept. Not just tolerate what someone believes. You have to accept it as equally valid to your beliefs. We have hostilities everywhere. We can't disagree, we hate each other. It didn't used to be like that. You disagree with the wokeness of our society, you can get fired. Just darkness everywhere, no hope. But for the believer, we don't have to dwell on that. Oh, we need to battle it, don't get me wrong. We cannot just sit down and blissfully be ignorant of what's going on in our society. But we also don't have to be taken down by it. It doesn't have to defeat us. We have a lot to live for and to be thankful for. Are you saved this morning? If you're saved this morning, be thankful for that. Have you experienced any of God's blessings? Then be thankful. Do you have an eternal purpose in your life? Do you see things from a perspective of not just all the drama that's going on, but from the Lord and from what He's trying to accomplish? Do you have godly friends? Do you have a future that you can look to with joy because you're serving the Lord? We have a lot to live for. Amen. But the problem arises when we allow the goodness of God to deaden us to the realities of what's going on around us. Not that the world should depress us, but we allow it to hinder our Christianity and to hinder our zeal for God. We are like Esther, who was where she was for in a specific place at a specific time for a specific purpose. I love Esther 4:14. And who knoweth, her uncle speaking to her, whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. They needed her at that time, right there, right now. Because of the current state of our society and its hopelessness and negativity, people need hope like never before. I saw on the one social media I do have is Twitter. It's more informational for me, but one of the things posted some commercials. You may have seen it from AT&T from 1993. Anybody see those? They showed these commercials. And it was a compilation of them, and AT&T was telling what the future was going to bring. And by the way, for those of you younger ones here, 1993 was a lot different than it is today. Computers, you know, used to have a lot of issues. They were just in the early days of really acceptance for everybody. But they were talking about Wi-Fi and all this different stuff, and it looked funny in their commercials, but they were saying, it's coming, and when it's coming, we're going to be right there. And they said it with a lot of hope. And really, 90% of the things they showed on those commercials have come to pass. And then they showed another commercial of someone talking about the future today. And, you know, like, these things are going to happen with technology. And they used it to bring up all the negativity. That's how our society is now. We can't be happy about anything. We can't look forward without any hope. But let me just tell you something. With God's help, we have hope. And we can bring that hope to this world. That's what God wants. In Romans chapter 13, it's teaching about some of the responsibilities that Christians have. The first part of the chapter, we didn't read the verses, it talks about our responsibility to be subject to the laws of the land. Not in a sense of that as it follows God and trying to do right and so forth. It would be nice if the laws of our land were trying to do right. But to be good citizens and not to cause trouble for trouble's sake, okay? You know, you're not being, look, if you speed and you get a speeding ticket, you're not being persecuted. You sped, okay? Now, if you go to jail for going to church, then you're being persecuted, all right? But let's just make sure we drive the speed limit unless you're in a hurry. And then he moves on in the verses we read from verse 8, 9 there through 10. He talks about the greatest law and the greatest command. You know, here's the laws we're supposed to keep, but here's the greater law we're supposed to keep. That is love for others. And he uses some of the Ten Commandments to show that as we obey these commands, the specific ones he mentions, if we violate them, we're literally sinning against somebody else. But then he moves to the urgency of fulfilling the law, either because of either the imminent return of Christ or our soon coming death. What do you mean soon coming? We're all going to die? No, but every morning you get up, you're one day closer to your expiration date, whatever it is. Now, it might be 90, it might be 100. It might be a lot less than that. But when you wake up every day, you're one day closer. If the Lord's going to come in some of our lifetimes, we're one day closer to that day. And that should do something for us. He's teaching us that knowing that our time is not going to last forever, it ought to motivate us to be busy and to be obedient now, not to wait. That's the whole point. The problem for us is that we live our lives without any recognition that time is getting closer to the end. That we could be gone any moment if it comes to the return of Christ, or we could die at any moment. We have to serve the Lord, and the only time we have to serve the Lord is now. But the whole point is this. He's saying, do you recognize, can you tell time? Do you even know what time it is? Let us understand the time that God has put us where we are at this present time. You know, there's the problem with all this gender dysphoria or whatever you want to call that nonsense is because people are just not happy with who they are, where they are. And it's because they don't understand God. Years ago, someone used to teach about these 10 unchangeables. You know, time you were born, the time in history you were born, your family, your gender, and all those different things. And it's like, you have to accept that. And stuff like gender and stuff, I'm like, that's silly. People accept that. Now look where we are today. And by the way, people are going to rip their bodies apart because they're not happy, and they're not going to be happy after they rip their bodies apart. And I thought we're supposed to help people. Whatever happened to doctors actually, and it's not the majority, but whatever happened to doctors being doctors and scientists being scientists instead of being politically correct pawns at the expense of other people. But God has a plan for us. God has a purpose for us, and we have to know the time. Now's not the time to be apathetic. Well, you know, it's just, you know, que sera, sera. We can't be cautious. We can't waste time. with our time constantly getting shorter and shorter, in the verses we read here in Romans chapter 13, verses 11 to 14, he mentions four specific times we are to recognize on God's spiritual clock. And it won't, these won't be long. First of all, it's time to wake. Look at verse 11. He says, and that, knowing the time, that it is now high time to awake out of sleep. He's saying, get up. Why? For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. I don't know about you. I don't know how many people are excited when their alarm clock goes off. It doesn't go off and you say, praise God, let's go. Is there anybody in here who's like that? I'll pray for you. Anybody else? Pray for you. Okay. For some people, the best thing that's ever been invented is the snooze button. And for a lot of us, it's probably the worst thing that's ever been invented. Right? Now, I allow myself, and it's ignorant. I think of it as like, this is just stupid. There's a time I get up every morning, same time. And I'm like, but I allow myself one snooze button. And I'm thinking, why don't I just bump the clock back and just get up at the time I want to get up? Right? But we're not excited. We're like, brother, I want to get back to bed. He's telling us, hey, it's time to get up. Alarm clock has a function. You know what that function is? To wake you up. If it doesn't fulfill its function, it doesn't work. Look, when we were in Bible college, we had crazy schedules. We went to college full time. We worked after that full time, and I worked like an hour away, back and forth. And then on the weekends, you catch up on your sleep. No, we were in Chicago visiting from 10 in the morning till 9 at night. We got up at 4 in the morning on Sunday to go rent a bus, and we dropped it off and got back to our dorms at 2 o'clock in the morning. We didn't sleep a lot. But I worked third shift, so all of us did this. So you had to hit your alarm. And I'll be honest with you, when you're getting four and a half hours sleep a night, it's easy not to hear that alarm clock or pay attention. So what I did is I was in my bunk bed and I slept at this end. I took my alarm clock and I wrapped it in wire on the far end of the bed and turned it up as high as possible. So when that thing went off, I couldn't hand reach it. I had to literally sit up and crawl to the front of the bed. By that time, I was awake. That's the purpose of an alarm clock. It's time to get up. Do you know that it's time to get up? He tells us, it's high time to wake out of the sleep. There's no reason for us to wait. Let me ask you something. Are you serving God right now, or are you waiting? Are you living for God in your life? If not, what are you waiting for? Are you raising your family for God? If not, what are you waiting for? Are you giving and doing all the things you're supposed to do for God? Are you doing that, or are you waiting? What are we waiting for? Things aren't getting better. People need God. They need hope, and we have the answer. Amen. Let's not wait. Now is the time. Don't be a spiritual Jonah. Jonah ran from God when God said, this is your time, this is your place, go do your job. And Jonah went the other direction. And God put him on a ship, and here's a ship in the middle, of the ocean, the sea. It's going down. Professional mariners were afraid. And Jonah's at the bottom of the ship sleeping. And they're like, hey, Jonah, what are you doing? Wake up. Pray to your God. Are we like that? Romans tells us why we need to get up. We're one day closer to the end. For now is your salvation nearer than when you believed. We're nearing the end. By the way, nearing the end changes us. I read a story, there was a POW camp in World War II, and these men were in the camp, the story is told that when they were there to spare their lives and to, you know, they thought about escaping, but to keep the peace, they would just play along with whatever the guards wanted and all that. They were just kind of biding their time, not causing trouble, just waiting for their time. And somehow, towards the end of the war, when the Allies were going to come and liberate them, somehow news got into them. That the Allies were just around the corner. It was just a matter of hours. And they said all their attitudes changed. Now they were happy. Now they were no longer just towing the line. They were ready because they knew their deliverance was at hand. We ought to know the time that it's late and we need to wake up. Let me ask you, are you really serious about God? What are you waiting for? Now's the time to serve God. Secondly, it's time to war. Look at verse number 12. Verse number 12. He says that the night is far spent and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. The picture here is that night is ended and the day is beginning. That's why you get up. Okay? Don't keep these drug dealer, you know, hours, right? Go to bed at 4 a.m. and get up at 2 p.m. The way it works, by the way, some of you don't know this, the sun doesn't just turn on. It comes up. You say, really? Yeah, get up some morning. Check that thing out. But what he's saying here is like, you know, the night is far spent. It's almost done and the day is now coming. It's that twilight time. So it's time to get up and transition out of the night and transition to the morning. How do we do that? We are not only getting up, he mentions, they're getting dressed. That's the picture he's using. Let us therefore cast off the works of the darkness. Now, he's not talking about clothing in this sense. He's talking about some of the old sins and some of the old actions of the old life and put on the armor of light. We're getting dressed for the day. And he's telling us what we're getting dressed for, the armor of light. They're getting up to go to war. They're not just getting up with no purpose in their life. They're getting up now and get rid of the past, that darkness. Wake up and get ready. Put on the armor of light. We're going to war. So not only do we need to get up, we also need to know that it's time to engage the enemy. See, many Christians are awake, but they don't want a war. And I'm not talking about a physical war with people. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a spiritual battle. All these principles that the world's throwing our way. Listen, it's not the people that are our enemy. It's the prince of darkness, Satan. But we need to fight that spiritual battle. We need to fight it in our life. We are seeking peace with an enemy, and the enemy will never allow it. Maybe it was blissfully possible years ago to sit on the sideline and hide your Christianity. But you can't do that today. Because the enemy's not letting us. People, wake up. It used to be like, well, you're a Christian. If you want to hide that, you could get away with it. But now our society is pushing back on everything that's right. Everything that's right. That's why it didn't just happen with the gay marriage. I knew it was transgenderism, and now they're going after the children. And you name an area of righteousness, they're going to keep pushing, and they're going to keep pushing, and now they're trying to check you out. All these people, you know, these athletes and all these things, and they're in the public eye. They're always trying to nail them on what they believe. That's why I don't like Drew Brees. I mean, I like him as a person, but he's a coward. He let what he's a Christian. He let out what he believed, and they pushed, and he wimped out. That's what they want. You either shut up or you're fired. There's a lady, she used to be, I don't remember her name. She used to be one of these sideline reporters on Monday Night Football. And then she quit. You know why she quit? I read her story. Because she was conservative in nature and she got sick and tired of them pushing her. She said, I've had enough. I quit. And I've read her story and some of the things that they're pushing in the school systems that her children were going to. And it made her sick to her stomach. And by the way, she's one of the ones we would say are oppressed. She's like, I can't do it with. See, we don't have that option anymore. And I'm not saying sometimes people don't like us because we're just not likable. Okay? We're just knuckleheads. I'm not saying that. But we can't be, we got to stand up. See, the society's not looking to ignore us anymore. They want to oppose us. They're not looking to avoid us. They're looking to engage us. They're not looking to escape. They want to expose us. Well, you believe this. Like, that, you're a bad person. Whatever happened to everybody can have their own beliefs. It's America. You can have your own beliefs as long as it's not conservative or Christian in nature. And that's not political. That's moral. They don't want to tolerate us. They want to silence us. I'm not saying that we are to battle people, but we have to battle what's coming our way. We have to battle it. Thirdly, it's time to walk. Look at verse 13. Let us walk honestly. Now, you understand walk in the New Testament. It's talking about how you live your life. It says, let us walk honestly, as in the day. Not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness and strife and envying. It's very interesting. He says, let us walk honestly as in the day. It just seems like a lot of bad things happen at night. You ever hear some famous person, they got in trouble, they did something stupid? It always starts out with this. They were out at 2 a.m. Well, hello. You know what you should be? Now it's time to wake up, but not at 2 a.m. That's a good time to be asleep. Can I get a witness? Okay. And it's in the night. Not in riot, cheating, and drunk in these different things. It's just time for us to live right. Going back to the last point, the reason most people don't want to fight and put on that armor of the light is because we enjoy being engaged in the darkness. Let's just be honest with you, with each other. Some people just, they like the dark life, and they don't want the light. So that's why they don't live it. The hope that our Lord may come soon, that we may be with him, should have lifestyle consequences. 1 John 3:3, and every man that hath this hope in him, what? The coming of the Lord, or our time we're going to be with him, purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Do you understand that? See, when we know the time and we can tell that the time is short, we're going to live a different way, right? What if you knew that Jesus was coming tomorrow? What if you knew you were dying tomorrow? Would that make any difference in your life? What if the doctor comes and says, look, you got 6 months. Would our attitudes change? It would, because we know the Lord's coming. And that would happen to all of us. I get it. But we know it's going to happen. We just put it out of sight, out of mind. So knowing that one day, and really, even if you live 100 years on this earth, in the whole scheme of things of eternity, that's very short. We should live a certain way. We're not supposed to walk like people of darkness, but like people of life. Look at some of the activities he mentions here. He talks about rioting, not in rioting. That was a word they used of feast and drinking parties that lasted well into the night. That's what that word was used for. By the way, drunkenness is the next word because those two go together. And don't sit here and tell me a Christian can drink. Grow up. We can show it from the Bible, okay? But you have the spiritual IQ. I won't be mean, but it's somewhere between a rock and a plant. And you're not talking to a choir boy. I didn't grow up in church. I saw what drinking did to people. Snap out of that. Okay, it leads to all kinds of nonsense. Look what else he mentions, okay? And I got to be careful. I can't even admit. Not in chambering and wantonness. I can't even tell you what chambering means in a mixed crowd. It's a very graphic word for immorality. By the way, all that stuff goes together. Well, I just want to party and hang out. Okay. And then you start dabbing into activities and things, and then your morals go. Okay. We have to be serious about God here. And then it leads to stuff we wouldn't throw in there, right? That stuff's all really, really bad. Not in strife and envy. It's like, wait, but what does strife and envy have to do with all those other immoral things? It's just bad. Our relationships with each other, God expects it to be right. And when we're living right, it's a lot easier to get along with one another. I mean, it's not that it's ever really easy, okay? We're humans, I get it. But it's time to walk right. Let's look at the clock. And before you get off and say, Pastor, what is this thing about just constantly living a certain way? 2 Peter 1, I'm going to read it. You can write it down. Joseph wrote a book about this chapter, a booklet. 2 Peter, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Okay? Peter's saying, now look, you're saved now. You have faith. You need to add some things to your faith. And he mentions them. He mentions virtue, knowledge, temperance, and all these different things. But he says the first thing, he goes, add to your faith virtue. And then to virtue, knowledge. He's not just mentioning 10 things to add to your faith. He's mentioning the order that really they should be added in. And the first thing that should be added to your faith, people, is the way you live. You ought to change the way you live. Knowledge comes later. You know why? Because if you don't live right, you're not going to grow in knowledge. If you don't live right, you're not going to do the right thing. You're not going to grow. So we have to know the time. It's time to walk. And lastly, it's time to watch. Look at 14. Going back to the whole clothing thing, and put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. One of the main ways that we can live right and forsake the wrong and understand the time is we put on the Lord Jesus Christ. That means literally to be clothed with. Each and every morning we ought to get up and just say, I want to be clothed with Christ. I want to live the way he would want me to live. Right? None of you would get up in the morning. Oh, people do it. I see it. I mean, it's, you know, run around in their pajamas outside. Right? We were at Starbucks the other day getting something. And these kids were coming. I think it might have been New Year's. And it's like, those are pajama pants. Like, you know, Bugs Bunny or whatever. I'm like, I guess you get, I know you get away with anything in California, but I'm like, I'm not walking around in my pajama. I'm going to get dressed. Okay? You get up in the morning, you get dressed. By the way, none of you would leave the house, and if you do, it's pretty obvious, none of you would leave the house without looking in the mirror. Is every hair in place? That's easy for me. Check. Right? You know? Is the tie, look, is the tie right? Is it in the middle? Is it here? Is it the right length and all that stuff? Sometimes I got to tie it, I'm maniacal, of three times to get it right. And so if I'm having a struggling morning, but it's like, I want to look right. You want to wear the, and look, we're supposed to look, put on Lord Jesus Christ. Let's wear him. But just because we have put on the Lord Jesus Christ and are seeking to live for him, it doesn't stop there. Look what else he says. And make not provision for the flesh. He says, so you walk out of your house and you want to live for Jesus. And by the way, it's a little bit easier to live for Jesus before you leave the house. Although that can be an issue. But once you get out into this world, you're going to be hit with everything. And he says, don't make provision for the flesh. Don't do it. The flesh is strong enough without us giving the flesh an added advantage. If we're going to live like Christ and avoid living in the flesh and fulfilling the lust of the flesh, then we cannot do anything that provides for the flesh. See, because if we make provision of the flesh, now the lust of the flesh kicks in. And we've been talking about this on Thursday night. I won't belabor it. Now the flesh has home court advantage. So what do we have to do? We have to watch. Watch means to pay strict attention. To be cautious, to stay awake, to be alert. See, we wake up and we start living for God, but we have to stay alert. Things are coming. I mean, you have to be very careful. Things are going to come your way, and if you're not careful, you'll put yourself in a situation where temptation is going to be strong. Jesus told his men in the Garden of Gethsemane, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. And then he says, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. I want to live for God. I want to do the right thing. That's not enough. That's a start. Your flesh is, your spirit is willing, but let me just tell you something. It is not going to happen because you have to combat the flesh. Amen. It's strong. It's strong. So you get that willing spirit and you combine it with being watchful and making sure that you don't put yourself in a bad situation and you can make it. One way to make sure that we don't give into the flesh is to starve it, right? Don't be involved with anything that strengthens your desires. If you get involved with something and you know when you're involved with it that the wrong things in you, they're harder to control, then stay away from that. Stay away from it. Well, I should be spiritual enough to overcome it. I know the spirituality comes by staying away from it. That was profound. Thank you. Don't hang around with anybody that fans the flames of your wrong desires. Don't listen or watch anything that glorifies the wrong desires. But you know what? There's another way not to give into the flesh. Starve your flesh and feed your spirituality. Right? Let's be faithful to read our Bibles. Let's be faithful to spend time with our God. Let's be faithful to the church services. Hey, we're just starting this year. Why don't you say, I'm going to be at every church service unless I'm dead. By the way, if you're dead, don't come. Watch a live stream. Kidding. You're sick. I get it. But we're so inconsistent with these things. We started reading our Bibles. Hey, when we get through Genesis, let's keep going. Let's be faithful to find our place of service for God. Let's make sure we're spending time with God's people. All these things are things that the lust of the flesh hates. And when you do it, it puts the flesh in its place. Hey, now's the time. You say, but pastor, I'm new here. And I just like, okay, jump in. When I went to church, when I started going to church, 4 Sundays is all it took. And I only went on Sunday morning. After 4 Sundays, I'm like, that guy up there really believes what he's saying. And I think he wants me to take it seriously. And I looked at the Bible, I'm like, I'm in. And I said, I'm going to do everything. So I started going to all the church services, and I started growing from there. But I'm like, I'm going to take it seriously. I got to be all in. Hey, that was a couple years ago. It's worse today. Man, God, look at our world needs us like never before. God needs you like never before. And the fact of the matter is, the life you want to live, what you're looking for in life, that's how you find it. But what are we waiting for? Now is the time. Let's just go. I don't understand people that sit on the sidelines. I'm like, bro, just either go home or get in, right? It's a new year. If you've struggled, it's time for a fresh start. Get your gym membership. Okay? Go to Jenny Craig, whatever you're doing. But come to church every service. So there's changes in my life. Okay, this is one of them. By the way, there's nothing wrong with that. No one's going to look around like, aha, January 8th, there you are. No, we're glad you're here. Okay? Let's get in. It maybe you've been around and you've been complacent. You need a renewed commitment. Maybe you're just new in the faith. Just jump in. Just jump in. Wherever you are, we have to know that what time it is. It's time to wake, it's time to go to war, it's time to walk, and it's time to watch. And I hope that we'll do that. Let's stand together for a second. Let's bow our head and close our eyes. I tried to be brief here this morning. Now's the time. Now's the time. Let's be urgent in our faith. Let's be serious in our faith. By the way, I know it's all of us. Things come to our mind. God brings stuff to our mind, and we're like, you know, I got to take care of that. I got to do that. And we say we're going to do it, and then we walk away, and we forget. Just obey that impulse right now. Let's do what God wants us to do. Let's be all in. Maybe here this morning you don't know Jesus Christ is your Savior. Bible tells us now is the day of salvation. Now is the time. You say, when should I get saved? The best time for a person to get saved is when they realize they need to be saved. Let's not wait. You're not promised another day. That's for all of us. What is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. It's like fog that comes and the sun's up and it's gone. Let me ask you this question. Are you 100% for sure if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven, or do you have any doubt at all? You say, Pastor, I have some doubt. Now is the time. If you're here this morning, you say, that's me. None of us looking around. You say, Pastor, it's me. I'm not sure that I'm going to heaven, but I'd like to be sure. Pastor, would you pray for me? I want to take care of that. Just raise your hand real quick until I see it and then put it around. Is there anybody like that? Now's the time. What's it in your life God spoke about to you this morning? Or maybe there's some areas in your life you've let slip and it's like, it's not time to let it slip. Let's get back in on it. The piano's going to play. If God spoke to you, why don't you come? Why don't we do some business? Let's not wait. Eternity will be filled with people who are saved that did nothing for God, but they planned on it, but they kept waiting. Now's the time.